Hey, your Bible's turning me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to wrap it up here in verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentiate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we ask you would enlighten our hearts and minds today to who you are. In Christ's name, amen. I have not emphasized the context of this passage of scripture. Paul is writing to Timothy, who is a pastor, and he is encouraging him in the ministry because he was facing some trials and some difficulties. And in this little section here, he has encouraged him, but he encourages him by bringing him up to see God and who God is. And so as he encourages Timothy, he tries to encourage him to see not what he sees in life and the circumstance he was facing, but to look up and see the God who he is serving. You and I may not be pastors, but we can take great encouragement from that. Oftentimes when we humanly see what we see, good or bad, up or down, it doesn't matter. What we see can discourage us or anger us or bother us, but we need to look up and realize what a great God we serve. I want to just highlight what we said in verse 13. He said he quickens all things, which means all life comes from God. Nothing has come into the world that has not come from God. He's quickened it. He brought life to it. And then he says in the last part of verse 14, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the second coming of Christ, when Jesus Christ will say, no more. Evangelism is over with. The opportunity has passed. And now Jesus Christ is coming to establish his earthly king. Last week we looked at verse 15, or the week before, who in his times he shall show who is the blessed. And we just dealt with the word blessed, which means God is blessed. He is he's in charge of everything, and God does not experience any trauma, any pain, any worry. He's totally blessed and secure and happy in what he is and who he is. And then what we looked at last week, the only potentiate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the only ruler there is in the world. As I said, we're on a ship. There's a little freedom on that ship, but the ship is headed to where God intended it to go. If you look at the individual circumstances of life, you may be tempted to blame those on God, and it may or may not be, I don't know. But in the life of Joseph, God simply allowed evil, but God moved Joseph to where he intended him to be. And then today we look at verse 16. Who only hath immortality. Who only hath immortality. Or one says, who alone possesses immortality. This means that God is eternal. And he is the only one who is eternal. In that culture when Paul was writing, they worshiped the emperor. The emperor was the leader of everything, and they worshiped him and honored him. And they considered the emperor to be eternal, but he was not. He is human. And they considered that. But now he comes and says that God alone possesses immortality. God alone is eternal. He has always been, and he will always be. He is the only one that possesses immortality, and he possesses it within himself. He does not derive it from any other source. God does not receive his eternity from anyone else. He is from all eternity, from all time. He is the only eternal one. Now you stop and think about that. Well, when did God start? He didn't. God never started. Well, you know, evolution and all this, everything banged here, banged there, and all that, and all came together. Sorry. God has always been and always will be. Before God ever created the world, and the way I look at God creating the world, it's like a little ball that he put down here and put a little speck of people down there, and then he created a universe. But outside of that, before there was anything, God is the only one that possesses eternality, immortality. He's the only one. He's always been. Now, you and I possess immortality. We will live forever. When death comes, that's not the end. It's just a transition to another world. But we will live forever. Once we have life, we will live forever. Death does not cease everything. Either it is in heaven or it is in a place called hell. But it will be forever. But that's not because we have it within ourselves. God gave it to us when he put life into us. So we ourselves will be immortal in the fact we will live forever, but not like God, who has always been. The word immortality is an interesting word, anathesia, which is interesting. It means deathless. That is, God has an unending quality of life and is incapable of dying. You cannot end God. People can shake their fist in the face of God and we hate him. They can even persecute Christians. They can even kill Christians. But they will not end God. They can come up with all sorts of ideas of how the world began. It evolved over billions of years and blah, blah, blah. But the truth is, you're never going to end God. God has always been, and he will always be, and he will not lose even one tenth or anything of his power and his glory. He remains the same. The psalmist wrote it this way: "For with thee is the fountain of life." Jesus says, "The Father has life in himself." Isaiah called him in chapter 40, the everlasting God. Moses wrote, "Before the mountains were born, or thou didst give birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." In the quote about Jesus Christ, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." That describes the Lord Jesus Christ, who has always been and will always be. Oh, yeah, he's God. Oh, yeah, he's God. And be careful. He's not us. And he's not you. And he's not me. He's the eternal, everlasting God. I can't comprehend it. Because everything that I know in life has a beginning. We celebrated a birthday. Every life starts with a birthday. My life began, and then it transitions to different things. Your life began. All of us used to be babies. Don't believe it now, but we also used to be babies, totally helpless. Everything has a beginning, but not God. He has always been. And the reason this was to comfort Timothy is that Timothy and you and I can derive comfort from the knowledge that God is above history and God is above time. For God, there was eternity and he already saw the ending. He already sees heaven. He already knows who is there because he exists above and beyond it. He is the eternal God. And so his perspective is not our perspective. We see this little segment of time, our life. Now, we've lived a while and they, whoa, boy, I've lived a long time. No, you haven't. Oh, you have in your life, but you have to consider long before that a lot of things happen. A lot of people are forgotten after all that. We have a little snippet of time right here where we live in, but God lives above and beyond it. I mentioned this illustration years ago in reference to this. When Paul went to have surgery and have his tonsils out, you know, that's the first time our child has surgery. And we're a little nervous, you know, as we go in there. And so they go in there, and Paul had his little game, and he was really trying to play that little game to keep his mind off it because he'd never gone through it before. He was very nervous, and we were nervous too. So went and did the surgery. Everything was okay. Like, oh, well, good. So then I left. We came home. And that afternoon, I had to go to see someone's surgery, too, in the same place, in the same area. And I can remember sitting there going, oh, not near as nervous. First of all, this isn't my child. Second of all, they're telling the same jokes they told when Paul was in here. And I remember sitting there going, okay, I know this one. This is joke number 3. They said the exact same one, said the exact same thing. You know, I was much more relaxed. You know, that's the way God is. God is high and above all things. And what you and I see is this, and we have our opinion, and we say, yeah, this is that, and yeah, this is that. We don't ultimately know because we're not God. Only God sits above it. It gives us comfort. No matter what happens during our brief span of life on this earth, the deathless, eternal one is available to support us. What about if death comes? He still got us, and he just brings us home to heaven because he's everlasting. He sits above it all. You know, it's like when you see you've grown and you see children and you see them growing and then you see them become teenager. You see all these things. The good thing is I've already been through all that. It don't bother me, but when they fall down and hurt their knees, like, you'll be okay because you've already lived that. I've already lived the teenage years. I kind of understand them, the memory fades, but I kind of understand them. Boy, they're crazy. But you open it differently. It's different because you've been through it. Well, God looks at you and I, and we tremble and we shake and we're concerned, but the truth is God lives above it. You know, when the electricity went out that night, went out at 5 o'clock. Oh, it did go out. I had me a battery, a boat battery to power my sleep apnea machine and a fan. I was good to go until 5 o'clock in the morning. Then went beep, beep, beep. That was it. But I was okay. But you know, I got to thinking, man, that was a rough night. I got so hot. I had to get up then at 5 o'clock because it was so hot. And that was nothing. I mean, what we experienced was nothing compared to the devastation that other people have experienced in life. And I thought, you know, we're totally dependent upon that power. There are going to be people in other places that because of the poles that have been knocked down and destroyed, it's going to take days, if not weeks, for them. And you and I don't realize how much we depend on power from electricity and how different it is when we don't have it. And yet, we can trust in God because he has all power. And he's all available. He's all eternal. Paul said it this way, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. We are blessed. And I want you to notice the second thing he says. Verse 16, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see. You need to pay attention to those phrases. He dwells in inapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. It is referring to the holiness of God. What they are seeing in heaven is that God himself, there's no electricity, there's no light bulbs. God himself, because of his holiness, permeates all of heaven with the beauty of his glory. But for us, he is unapproachable. You know, in this casual society we live in, and we live in a very casual society. And it's very dangerous. Christians can kind of become casual too. We live in a kind of casual society, you know, hey, big deal. God is spoken of in who knows how many terms, and his ways are just spoken of just who knows whatever. The people sometimes are Christian, talk, oh yeah, God, yeah, and they just speak on casual terms about God. I want to give you a reminder, that's not who God is. He dwells in inapproachable light. He is absolutely, totally holy. While he is our loving, gracious Father, and he loves us, and we can pray to him, and the Bible even says we call him Abba, which means daddy. Those terms mean of our relationship, but I'm not sure they mean that's the way we speak of him. He dwells in absolutely inapproachable light because he's holy. If God himself were to walk into this room with his full holiness, you and I would probably be blinded in our fallen humanity, because that's how holy he is. He is transcendent, which means he's above and beyond us. A good illustration is when the sun shines down upon the trash dump with all the trash in there and all the little creatures in there, and the sun shines down upon the trash dump, it is not affected by the trash dump. God in his holiness looks down, but he is not tempted by us. He is not tempted by sin. He is grieved by it, but he's like the sun. He does not participate in it. You and I need to be very careful to think that God's like us. He's not like us. He doesn't think the thoughts we think. He doesn't act the way we act. He doesn't speak the way we speak, because God is absolutely, totally transcendent above all of us. He's absolutely holy. Martin Luther called him the God who is hidden. When I hear someone speak with a familiarity with God, I understand it, and I don't mean I judge. It depends on what context it's in. But God is revered and holy and unapproachable. You want to know the truth? If God had never chosen to pull back the curtain of heaven, communicate himself through the Bible, through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, if God had never chosen to do that, you and I would not have a clue. You cannot know God by getting on a ladder and climbing up and peering into heaven, because he is way beyond us. If you think not, listen to the people's views of God who don't know Christ. I mean, other than the sadness of it, it's almost hilarious. You know, it's amazing to me that the world doesn't believe in hell unless it's somebody they want to go there. I recently heard some Hollywood people said, I cannot stand those conservatives. They're just evil. And when the fires of hell come up, it will engulf them and bring them down. And I said, you don't believe in hell. Or at least not for you, but you sure believe in it for other folks. The truth is, people know. God is high above all of us, and I wouldn't have a clue to God. Oh, yes, we're smart. I've been to seminary, and I know stuff. No, I don't. The only thing I know is because I'm, you know why I'm telling you this morning? Because I've studied the passage. That's the only way I know. God has not chosen to come down and show me, and he hasn't taken me up there to see it. He has only chosen to reveal himself. If you even know there's a Bible, that's because God did it. If you even know there's a God, that's because God revealed himself. If you even know there's salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, that's because God revealed it, not because you're so smart. If you don't think so, go out and talk to the people who don't know Christ. They are absolutely, totally clueless. Oh, they might know some lingo, but they have no idea. The psalmist wrote this, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with splendor and majesty, covering thyself with light as with a cloak. When Moses prayed for God to reveal his glory, the Lord replied, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. The picture, when God passed by Moses, the picture that it uses is this blazing light of glory. And the Bible says God took his hand and hid him in the cleft of the rock so he could not see him in full glory because he would have died on the spot. The writer of Hebrews put it simply, our God is a consuming fire. The image of God as blazing light expresses his holiness. He's totally separate from sin. I'm often attacked in my mind, and often before Sundays, I'm always amazed. Before I come in here, I'm always amazed at what thought was just, what in the world did that come from? And I have to push it out. And I know it's Satan trying to throw in things and throw darts in there to change things. But you know, my mind, as pure and holy as I try to be, is still impure. Not perfect, because I'm not God. God doesn't think like you. God doesn't act like you. God doesn't feel like you. He's God above all things. Psalm 5 says, for thou art not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with thee. He is majestic in holiness. Psalm 15 says, there is no one holy like the Lord. Because of that holiness, God is absolutely inaccessible to us. Apart from death and being glorified in his presence, you and I could not see God. Because he's absolutely holy, he's absolutely eternal, he's absolutely above all that we are, and there is no way in your intellect you can know God. I don't mean you can't know him through your mind, but that's what his word is for, but he's inaccessible to us. The only reason he is accessible to us is because Christ died for our sins. And now we can approach his presence. Even though we are still fallen, we can still approach his presence because he has granted us that privilege through the Lord Jesus Christ to declare us righteous and holy in his presence. But that's only theologically. If he were to take us home to heaven without giving us glorified in some way, we couldn't see him. You can't look at the sun and not be blinded. You couldn't get on a spaceship. I love it when Star Trek goes back in time and they go around the sun and they fling themselves and they go back in time. You can't even get that close to the sun. It's too bright. It's too hot. The idea that you think, oh yeah, oh God up there, yeah. Oh, be careful, folks. Matthew 5 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. 1 Corinthians 13 said, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. You know what that's referring to? We see through if all of a sudden you were to see something out through this glass out there, and you'd see shadows, that's all you'd see is shadows. Oh, I bet that's people running by. What, is that a truck? I bet it's a pickup truck. No, I think it's an electric truck. No, I think you wouldn't know because you're looking through a glass dimly. You don't see the fullness of God. You and I understand some things about God. I'm understanding much more because I've been studying the Bible for a long time. But even then, I just go, wow, Lord, I didn't realize that. I've always known that God has been good to me. But as I grow older, I realize how good he has been to me. God is absolutely holy and unapproachable. People say, I saw him. Well, maybe, but if you did, you didn't see him in his fullness, because no one can see God in his absolute fullness and live, because God is so absolute. All in the Old Testament, all the way through, they saw him in a vision. Paul was probably one called up to third heaven, which was heaven, and when Paul came back, he's different than a lot of people. He said, I can't even speak of the things I saw. He said, it's beyond my comprehension. It's way beyond anything. You know, it's interesting that people have gone to heaven and come to tell you all about it. And maybe they did. I don't know. I'm not trying to ruin anybody's theology. But when Paul went up there, he'd go, I can't even speak of this thing. It's just too much, too great. And because of the great things he saw, God allowed him to have a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed three times for it to be removed, and it never was, because God wanted to keep him humble. You know, when you think you've seen something, ooh, you can get puffed up. Oh, boy. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't know God any more than you do, other than walking with him and learning his word and who he is. I'm just a fallen creation saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and learn to love him and follow him and enjoy him. But he is way beyond your and I comprehension, because he's so absolutely holy. But he's pulled back heaven and said, I want you to see a little bit of me. And you know what? If you just see one miller thing of God, you've seen a lot. Did you know that? If you know a little about God, you know a whole lot, because he's so great and he's so wonderful that what little we know is beyond even our comprehension, because that's who he is. He dwells in unapproachable light. And out of that all, he expects holiness of us too. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. May no one misunderstand or take to heart everything that was said. We know your truth. May we all understand, though, Lord, that you are high and holy. And may with humility we realize that what we do know, you've only communicated by your word and enlightened by the Spirit of God. We are not that smart. There are educated people with doctorates on top of doctorates who haven't a clue who God is, because it is known by intellect. It's known by the revealing hand of you. So, Lord, when we leave today, may we be grateful and thankful that we are saved and we know you, because you chose to let us know. And thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.